Hello, I am Guillermo García Manero, a professor in the Department of Leukemia at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston. Thank you for this opportunity. So, I'm going to discuss today a presentation that I had the opportunity to give at the biannual MDS meeting in Copenhagen a couple of weeks ago. The topic was our studies of clinical trials of the combination of a hypomethylating agent with immune checkpoint inhibitors in patients with MDS. So the first question is if there is a rationale for the use of these compounds in patients with MDS. As the audience probably very well know, these immune checkpoint inhibitors like CTLA-4 inhibitors, PD-1, PD-L1 inhibitors are approved for a number of solid tumor malignancies. The question is, why to use it in MDS and potentially acute myelogenous leukemia? So a number of years ago, we conducted a very simple experiment where we studied the expression both at the RNA and at the protein level of PD-1, PD-L1, PD-L2, and CTLA-4 in patients with MDS and AML. And we found that indeed these targets are expressed in the myeloid compartment of this disease. And what it was more important, it was that in patients that had been treated with a hypomethylating agent like azacitidine or decitabine, there was a significant overexpression of these molecules, meaning that treatment with these hypomethylating agents could indeed actually prime these patients to subsequent benefit from the immune checkpoint inhibitor. So that data was published in the journal Leukemia a few years ago and has served as the basis for multiple clinical trials, not here at MD Anderson only, but in multiple other centers. The very first study that we conducted actually was with a compound known as pembrolizumab. That is, again, a compound accepted and approved for multiple solid tumor malignancies, not for MDS or AML. And this was a proof of principle trial using monotherapy with these immune checkpoint inhibitors in patients with hypomethylating agent failure, high-risk myelodysplastic syndrome. What we observed in this trial, that was around 20 centers, this was a 20 patients, this was a multi-center trial, was that the toxicity profile of the single-agent immune checkpoint inhibitor was quite acceptable. And interestingly, even if we did not see any clear responses following a standard criteria, there are actually two patients that I'm aware of that are long-term survivors of this approach in this context of HMA failure that, as the audience know, carries a survival of around 4 to 6 months. So we were intrigued by the signal in terms of duration of survival and the tolerability of this compound, at least as monotherapy in patients with MDS. With that data, then we embarked in a much more aggressive clinical trial that was the focus of the presentation in Copenhagen, where we showed more updated results of the combination of azacitidine with either nivolumab or ipilimumab for patients with MDS. This is a complex phase 1-2 clinical trial that has six cohorts. They are divided into a group for patients that had not received prior therapy and a group for patients that had already been exposed to hypomethylating agent, the so-called HMA failure patients. Then each of these two subsets is divided into three cohorts. In one cohort, we were going to try nivolumab alone for HMA failure or ipilimumab alone for HMA failure, and then a final cohort of combination of nivo and ipi for the hypomethylating failure. For the patients that had not been previously treated, we had again three cohorts: azacitidine nivolumab, azacitidine ipilimumab, and then finally azacitidine nivolumab and ipilimumab. And basically, we started with one, completed the cohort, were 20 patients, and then moved to the second cohort and third cohort. And the studies in the frontline and in the relapse setting were in parallel. The study now actually is completed, and we are expanding these cohorts, and we think that the data is of great interest. So the first thing of interest was with those patients with relapsed refractory disease, to hypomethylating agent. So what we saw with nivolumab was very similar to what we had seen with pembrolizumab, was very limited activity. And indeed, actually, we could not complete that cohort because we had predefined stopping rules for the nivolumab cohort. Interestingly, though, when we treated the cohort with patients with ipilimumab, we actually saw a response rate of around 30% and actually a duration of response that was along the lines of what we have seen before with pembrolizumab, or potentially even longer, and potentially longer than expected compared to the prior experience in patients with HMA failure. Now, we had also performed a combination of nivo-ipi in the HMA failure. This data is not that mature. We have seen responses, but of course, additive toxicity when combining both immune checkpoint inhibitors. When we moved to the frontline setting, we saw very interesting signal also. So we saw very high response rates with both the combination of azacitidine and nivolumab cohort, very high response rate also with the combination of AZA and ipilimumab. But what was more intriguing from this initial clinical trial was that the median survival of those patients with high-risk disease that were treated with AZA and ipilimumab had not been reached. And the follow-up at the time of presentation in Copenhagen was close to 2 years. So the follow-up is quite prolonged for this group of patients, yet the survival was probably the best that we have seen at MD Anderson with this type of doublets. So we have a high response rate and duration of those responses. That said, there are things that are still limiting the broad applicability of this experience. And mainly is that these combinations can have significant toxicities that are referred by the experts sometimes as ITs, basically immune reactions to these immune checkpoint inhibitors that can be quite toxic if the doctor is not alert and starts preventive approaches like high-dose steroids fast in the course of this disease. In our experience, the most common toxicity was actually pneumonitis. Sometimes this in our patients can be difficult to assess because it can be confounded with pneumonia or infectious complications. Many times, physicians will hesitate before starting steroids. And in our experience, actually, what these patients need, that it may be a little bit different than the standard of care, is actually to start these steroids early on, as soon as you have some type of unusual inflammatory complication or pneumonitis. Other inflammatory conditions could be colitis, diarrhea, thyroiditis, but there's sometimes a neurotoxicity that is not very frequent, but could be quite severe. So the data shows a very high response rate, long survival compared to our historical experience, but a toxicity profile that requires some experience and potentially education if this is going to move forward. It is also important to say that actually the characteristics of this group of patients were quite severe in terms of poor prognosis. So there was a very significant group of patients with very complex karyotype and with mutations on p53 that, as the audience knows, are associated with very poor outcomes in this context. So we believe that this data is again of interest, and our plans are as follows right now. Number one, in collaboration with the immune therapy platform here at MD Anderson with Dr. Allison, we're trying to actually develop immune biomarkers to identify potentially patients that may benefit more or less from this kind of therapy. That effort now is basically ongoing. We have developed also sophisticated flow cytometry assays to see if we can distinguish whether the therapy is affecting or not the stem cell compartment in this disease. This will be very important data to have, of course, a sequential cytogenetic and genomic analysis. We have also completed the third cohort of patients with AZA, nivo, and ipi. This is actually extremely powerful, but again, with potential very severe toxicities. But we had used the nivo and the ipi at higher doses. So the protocol at MD Anderson right now is amended to use, in the combination of nivo and ipi, both in the frontline and in relapse, a lower dose of this immune checkpoint inhibitor. So instead of using 3 milligrams per kilo, we're down to 1 milligram per kilo. And we're doing the same thing when using these drugs as monotherapies in combination with the hypomethylating agent. We're going to expand this cohort with the support of BMS to an additional 80 patients, and we're going to take the winner in terms of whether we use Aza-Nivo, Aza-Ip, or potentially the triplet of Aza-Nivo-Ip in expanded cohorts, depending on the data that we're going to generate, hopefully in the next coming months. So in summary, we think that this is a potential new therapeutic approach for our patients. I think we need to understand a little better the toxicity profile and potentially be able to develop some type of biomarker that could allow us to target this therapy better. But I think that this early data in terms of response and survival is quite exciting, and it deserves to be explored in larger, longer trials. Thank you for this opportunity to present this data.